Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 4. Father, I thank you right now for your anointing on this word, Father, that we're about to receive. I thank you for anointing on our ears to receive truth from it, Father, to receive revelation, for it to get deep inside, Father, and change and correct. And Father, make us into the image of Jesus Christ that you so desire, Father. Now, Father, we yield spirit, soul, and body. We want to yield to you, to the bodily ministry of the Holy Spirit, to the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. We want to yield fully, Father. We want everything, Father, that you have. So right now, in Jesus' name, we yield unto you. And we thank you for it. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting with verse 6. We'll just go on down, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And we've been talking about that not only we had an inheritance, that we had something that had been given to us, that lacked nothing, that anything we could ever think of, ever imagine, or ever desire, ever ask for, was in this inheritance that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us. He said, everything in heaven is mine. The Father has given it to me, and now I turn around and I give it to you. That's what he said, and that was the inheritance from heaven. Anything you could ever think of or think of to ask your Father in heaven, he has already given it to you in your inheritance. You say, well, okay, I'll buy that for a second, but you understand I don't have it in hand. It's not manifested in my life. I don't see it. If I have it, if I have all the prosperity, then why is it a struggle to pay for my bills? Well, there is reasons for that. But nevertheless, the Word of God is true. No matter what you think about it, no matter what I think about it, the Word of God is true. There's nothing about what we think or the thoughts that we have that could change one thing about it. We can't change any part of it. The Word of God is so. It was so. It is so today, and it will be so tomorrow. And he said, you received a gift to minister it to one another as good stewards. Now notice this. He said, in my Bible it says, I don't know what the old King James says, but in my Bible it says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, you've been given this manifold grace of God. You've been given this inheritance by the grace of God. It's a free gift, and you can't do anything to earn this inheritance. It's an automatic free gift. When you get born again, it's so. This manifold grace of God, this free, unearnable gift is so. When you get born again, you got it. You don't have to go and pray in tongues 100 hours. You don't have to go and stomp up and down and throw a Pentecostal fit or do the chicken walk. You don't have to go and spread ashes all over your face and hide out in a monastery. Whenever you get born again, it's so. It's been given to you. You don't have to go to no priest and crawl into a closet and beg him and do this and that to get this manifold grace of God, this inheritance from God. It's a free gift given to you when you get born again. When you come into the family of God, you become a son and a daughter of God, part of the family of God, and immediately that inheritance is yours. But he says this, he says to steward it. Now, this inheritance that you've received, you don't have to do anything to earn it. But now the exaltation of God, the moving of God in your spiritual life and moving you from one point to the other, that's not a free gift. I said, that's not free. That comes by faithfulness and by obedience. And you're called a steward that the grace of God, you're called a steward this inheritance, to take care of it, to manage it. When you're called a steward of something, I'm called to steward the mysteries of God. You are too. I'm called to take the mysteries in the Word of God, those things that we don't understand with a natural mind. I'm called to use the teacher, the greatest teacher in existence, the Holy Spirit, to find out what those mysteries are, how they apply to my life, and I'm called to steward those, to take care of those, to hold those in high esteem. I'm called to stewardship to apply them in my life. I'm called to do that. You're called to be a steward of the manifold grace of God. You're called to take this inheritance and not just sit on it and keep it and keep it safe and never ever let anybody touch it or never ever let it not be seen to anybody. You're not called to do that. You're called to steward this inheritance. Not just sit on this chair Sunday to Sunday, Wednesday to Wednesday, or times in between and just say, I got an inheritance, glory to God. I got an inheritance, glory to God. My inheritance allows me to have a Cadillac or a Lincoln Continental or a nice home. Well, sure it does. But you're not just called to just take from that inheritance and hide the rest of it all the time. You're called to steward that inheritance, to be a wise person concerning that inheritance, to take it and use it and enlarge and increase the kingdom of God. There's some parts in the body of Christ that have gone so far in their inheritance. I got friends that are in certain parts of the body of Christ. And they, you know, that boy, they believe in salvation. You can't talk them out of their salvation. But yet somebody along the way talked them out of healing. And if you took healing out of that inheritance, you just as well take salvation out of it. Because it's all in the same inheritance. I've got some, you know, they'll believe in a little bit of healing. Well, God will come along occasionally when He wants to, if it's His will. And, you know, and He'll give them a healing, but now miracles. And brother, you're talking about them creative miracles, you know. Boy, you're sure brave putting that out there in those advertisements, you know, and splashing that across the TV cable channel. My goodness, you know. Well, yeah, because I know what's in that inheritance, and I'm going to declare the inheritance of God, whether anybody else does or not. But I've got some friends, you know, you can slide by a little bit on the healing, but when it comes to the creative miracle, oh, I don't know about that. But those same creative miracles are a part of the inheritance that healing and that salvation is. And then, you know, then you got some, even in the charismatic arenas and so forth, and the faith arenas, that, you know, well, you know, we believe in those healings and those miracles, even those creative miracles, but now those devils coming out in manifestation, you know, crying and a slobbering and a gnashing of teeth and spitting and trying to bite and all that stuff, I don't know about that. I don't know whether I'd take it that far. Well, that same salvation and that same healing and that same miracles in that same inheritance is deliverance and freedom from demonic possession and demonic oppression. And those are two different things, by the way. When you get born again, you can't be possessed of the devil. You can be oppressed. You can be attacked. You can be attacked in the soul, but you can't be possessed because the Holy Spirit came in and sealed you for the day that Jesus comes and thinking, get in. Now, I'm like Lester. Maybe you ain't born again. If you get possessed by the devil after you think you're born again, then maybe you ain't born again. Maybe you just need to get born again. But most of it in the body of Christ is oppression. But we're not going to get on that. We'll use that another time. More colorful day. I can get real colorful in that area. We'll take that another day. But in that same inheritance of salvation, then is all this other package of inheritance, and we say, well, at least they believe in salvation. At least they're getting soul saved. Well, that's for sure. In fact, most of us charismatics, we get our enlargement in our numbers from the Baptists who believe in salvation because they're the ones getting people saved, and we're not. Yes, amen, Pastor. Amen. It's the truth. How many in here came directly into the body of Christ, charismatic or faith movement? Directly. You did. Go ahead and raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand. Two out of... How many's here today? About 55. Two out of 55. The rest of them came. Three. Yes. Right now, let's just take a moment. Prayer and agree. Marge is a great granddaughter, just born, has club feet. We're going to believe for a miracle. I really wish they could be here tonight or the next couple nights, but that doesn't matter because we've seen the same miracles before, so we're just going to believe for it right now. Carly, Renee. Father, we lift up Carly Renee. Father, you're her miracle worker. even in her innocence, Father, this early, Father. You're her miracle worker. So, Father, we stand right now. In Jesus' name, we stand right now. We thank you that in her inheritance, right now, her inheritance is in effect. Father, we call a miracle. We thank you right now in her innocence, a miracle on those feet. Father, we speak to those feet, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we command those feet to be straight, corrected in every area, all the bones, all the joints. In Jesus' name, we agree. We call it done now. I want a testimony back. So anyhow, we got three people here that came directly in through that avenue. Most of us came in because of some Baptist help or some Pentecostal help or this or that help. All different types, you know. I had one person that used to help me that was in the Lutheran church, I believe. Nazarene. Lutheran. 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 He was Lutheran, in and out. Until the Holy Ghost got a hold of him in a miracle service one evening. His wife and his mother-in-law, you know, they were sitting back there saying, "We tried to get him filled with the Holy Ghost. He just wouldn't receive it. We tried. He's up there just speaking away in other tongues. Couldn't get him stopped for days after that. So most of us come in through a different avenue. You know. But you say, you know what? Well, you know, you shouldn't be too hard on them. You know, I am hard on them in that this. That you don't stop with just part of your inheritance. You go ahead and you don't let people talk you out. You don't let ministers, supposedly ministers of the gospel, be your excuse or talk you out of your inheritance or any part of it. If there's more to the inheritance, which there is, don't stop there. Go on till you have the whole inheritance in your life, where at least you know about it. Now, you may have to work on it for a while till it's manifested in your life. That's okay. God's grace is there for you to do that. But go ahead and find out about your inheritance, everything that's been given to you. Because, see, we've been called as stewards of this inheritance, not just to have this inheritance. And we can have this inheritance, and it's a free gift to us, but then the stewardship and the exaltation by God and moving farther into God, that's a different thing. We have to go into things and do things that causes that to occur. That's not a free gift. Everything else has been given for you to apply in your life to begin that change that you can walk farther into that inheritance and know about it. You say, well, give me an example. Well, you know about salvation. But unless you get the Holy Spirit going in your life and let Him in on your life and begin to let Him pray through you, then there's things in the Word of God, even the small things like healing. Yes, I said small things like healing to God. That's a small thing. Small things in the Word of God that you're not going to know about unless you let the Holy Spirit continue to do a work in you. Well, there had to be an action on your part. You know. And then some of us, you know, the devil, he'll trick us. Trick us, and we'll know things all of our life. And then all of a sudden, you know, the devil will trick us. And all of a sudden, those things that we once knew so great, then all of a sudden, you know, they're gone. And we have to have somebody come along, or some loudmouth preacher, to remind us of those things that we once knew. I mean, I've seen it in my own life. Gene there, he's seen it in his own life. We've talked about it, you know. Know these things, you know, and then all of a sudden it seems like you don't know them. The enemy came in there, blinded your mind, you know. You had to have a little help to get started back the right direction. But praise God, you know, you got to do some things sometimes to get some things started. But like I said, the inheritance is free. But then the rest of it requires us to begin to do some things. We can't just sit by in the sweet by and by. We can't just think worship with our mind and think on worship and actually be worshiping God. We got to open our mouth. We can't just think about praying in tongues and be praying in tongues. We got to open our mouth. Usually, if you're watching the Word of God, everything concerns opening your mouth and using your mouth. Every part of it. Now, except fasting. That's where you keep your mouth shut. Ain't no reason to open it unless it's to speak out the Word of God when you're fasting. So there is an exception. The Holy Spirit just alerted me to that. Don't you say that that's, you know, don't you say that you, you use your mouth and open your mouth on fasting. He's right. You close your mouth on fasting, the longer you can close it, the better off you are. But anyhow, if you'll watch in the Word of God, for the most part, He uses the power that's in the tongue, whether it be confession. Confession and meditation go together. You use confession and reading the Word of God to meditate the Word of God out, to get the meaning, to get the Holy Spirit in on that, that He can begin to teach you the truth, the mysteries of Christ in the Word of God. And so we've been called as stewards of that grace, stewards of the mysteries, stewards of our inheritance. Not just to have our inheritance, but we've been called as stewards to take that inheritance that we have and manage it. What are you doing with the things in your inheritance that's been given to you for the kingdom of God? What are you doing with them? Are you just sitting there and not doing nothing? What are you using to lay up for yourself a place in heaven? See, that unjust steward, you know, he was that way. I mean, he was really outright a crook. But the Lord said this about him. He said, "You're wiser than even the body of Christ, because you took the power that you had. You took that power and you began to lay up for yourself in heaven things of a heavenly value, things that were eternal. You took that power of attorney that you had and you began to lay up in heaven." And He called him wiser than the body of Christ. We need to wise up. We've been given this inheritance, this rich inheritance. And you're saying, "Well, you're going to take another offering before the service is over. That's what you're after." No. It's not just money. If you look at it as a money thing, and totally a money thing, then you've lost out already. Because your time is considered of more value in the Word of God than even money. What are you doing with your time? See? Your time has been given as a part of your inheritance. He said, and you say, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, He says to redeem the time. Know the perfect will of God and redeem the time. He wouldn't say to redeem the time if the time wasn't important and part of the inheritance in God. You've got to learn to redeem the time. What are you doing with your time? "Well, I'm not like you, Pastor. You know, you guys, you know, you're full-time in the ministry. You think that the rest of us should do exactly what you do." No, I think you should do exactly what I've done to get to where I'm at. And then whatever you're supposed to do, whether it be behind the pulpit or make money for the gospel, then that way, if you've done what I've done to get to where I'm at, if you've applied those same principles, then the same thing's going to happen to you, even though it may be a different calling. Some of you in here are called to make money for this church and to make money to win souls and implement things. But you know, unless you start doing the things to steward your inheritance, we're never going to see it. We're never going to find out. In fact, I'm going to have to take time out and go make some money. Hey, don't look at me that sour. I can do it. That was my first calling. I walked into that calling before I walked into anything else. I mean, every time I turned around, God was laying His hand upon it. You know, now I want to because I like it. "No, I told you what you need to do. You need to believe in those people that will do that so I can let you do some other things." But anyhow, whatever it is, you know, you'll end up in your calling if you take and steward that inheritance that's been given to you. But if you sit on it and you hide it, you don't use it, you know, you don't begin to steward it, if you don't take the time necessary and the actions necessary to be able to steward that inheritance, then you'll never even receive your own call and walk in it, but nobody else will even know that you got the inheritance. Now, that'd be terrible to end up in heaven and, you know, and have to face Jesus with the fact that nobody ever knew that you had an inheritance. Is a light lit to hide under a basket? You know, what are you doing with that inheritance? See, we're called to steward that inheritance, not just have it. Glory to God. The charismatic and faith churches, you know, they talk all the time about how they have this inheritance. Now, they'll call it different things. Some are mixed up and say, "I'm a covenant woman." You know. But actually, what she needs to be saying is that, "I'm a daughter of God with an inheritance." We're called to steward that inheritance, to take that inheritance that the world can see it, to set the example. It's not the right thing for Hollywood and all the devil's friends to be able to put forth and show that they have an inheritance from the devil. That's not right. It's for the church to exhibit that the church has an inheritance from God and is using it to do something about the devil's kingdom and take back ground. That's what we're called to do. But if you sit there, you never know that you got an inheritance, then you wouldn't be able to use your inheritance. But if you find out, if you take the things given to you to find out that you got one to begin with, and then what is contained in that inheritance, and then how to steward that inheritance, then that's a different deal. See? And that's why He gave you the Word of God. That's why He gave you the Holy Spirit. So let's turn over to Ephesians. Now that we've established that we've been called to minister as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, you know, I've established it, whether you want to accept it, you know, it's up to you, but it's been established that we've been called to steward this manifold grace of God, this inheritance that He's given to us. It's not just to sit around and use that manifold grace of God and say, well, I can sin and commit adultery over the weekend, go to church on Sunday morning, take my repent pill and ask forgiveness, and I'm okay. No, it's not what it was. It wasn't meant for that. If you're doing that, one of these days, that so-called grace you think you're walking in is going to turn against you. You'll be exposed. You'll fall. Hopefully you won't take too many people with you when you fall like Jimmy Swaggart did. But you will fall. Hopefully you won't have too much of an effect on people, and we can rescue you and get you back. But you need to quit using that sloppy, greasy grace to be able to sin. It's not there for you to be able to sin and to get by. Now, as long as you're trying to climb out, as long as you're trying to get out of that trap, as long as you're doing everything you can by the grace of God to get free and to get loose, His grace will be there. He'll send others to help you out. You say, well, what will He do? Send others to condone what I'm doing? No, He won't. He'll send others with the Word of God to say, you can be free and I'm going to help you out. That's what He'll do. He'll send them time after time until you start justifying what you're doing. When you start justifying what you're doing, then that grace period is over with. It no longer exists, no matter what you think. As long as you're trying, though. As long as you're reaching for Him. Jesus, this thing is strong. Well, the Holy Spirit will be saying, sin shall not have dominion over you. Because the truth in the Word of God is that already sin has been declared that it no longer has any dominion over you. But I can't help it. Yes, you can, because sin no longer has any dominion over you. But I can't help it. Yes, you can. And if I held a rifle to your head and said I was going to kill you, the next time you sinned, you'd stop sinning right away. So we know that you can, but sin has been declared dead. It has no longer, that's part of the inheritance, that it no longer has any dominion over your life. Now you've got to begin to do things to manifest your inheritance. And that's where we start talking about prayer. Fasting and worship and meditating the Word of God. If you don't have something to resist the enemy and all of his tactics, he'll keep on trying to convince you that sin was never defeated. He'll have you convinced that you can justify sin. That's just simply not so. Sin shall not have dominion over you any longer. When? Since when? Since the day that Jesus went on the cross and took every bit of it upon Him in your place, died in your place, defeated sin. Since that day, sin no longer has dominion over this body. Poverty no longer has dominion over this body. Confusion no longer has dominion over this body. Sickness no longer has dominion over this body. That's my inheritance. Sin can't have me. Poverty can't have me. We were in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. So, well, I just can't help it. Yes, you can help it, and we'll do everything we can to get your inheritance manifested in your life that you can walk out of where you're at. But at some point, you've got to throw yourself over to the grace and mercy of God and surrender yourself and quit making excuses, quit justifying. He cannot bring you out of what you justify. When you quit justifying and quit excusing and to surrender to Him, then He can go into action in your life. Well, I was brought up as a Baptist, so I can't hardly accept some of the things. No, you're justifying. You need to surrender to God. Let the Holy Spirit, the greatest teacher in existence, teach you the things in the Word of God. Well, I'm a Pentecostal and I can't pray in other tongues. I'm of that old line, can't pray in other tongues unless somebody beats me about the head and shoulders. Well, come on up, I'll beat you. No, I won't. You need to get in the Word of God and find out that severally as you will, you can start praying in other tongues. Just because you want to, you can make contact with your God and begin to pray. No excuses. Sheep follow, goats but. No, no excuses. No justification. Says in verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice, be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. He says not to grieve the Holy Spirit, and if you grieve the Holy Spirit through these things, let's say evil speaking or division or strife, then how are you going to get Him in on your act of learning of your inheritance that's been given to you and of having that inheritance manifested in your life? See, some are sitting there thinking that they're all right and they stay in that mode of evil speaking and strife and division. And if you continue on in that, and as you're in that, the Holy Spirit's not able to work, because it says not to grieve the Holy Spirit. So you're better off if somebody calls you up or meets you on the street and wants you to join in with them. You're better off because you want to know your inheritance and you want to know every part of it and you want to begin to walk in it. Well, you can't do that without the help of the Holy Spirit. You don't want to grieve Him. If you grieve Him, you cannot get Him to working in your life and get that you need out of it. You have to have His help. See, it says in the Word of God, it says, the day has now come that people will worship Me in spirit and in truth. No longer will they worship Me in the temple, no longer on this mountain. But they're going to worship Me in spirit and in truth, for God is a spirit. Now, I know I paraphrased that, but that's what it says. That's the truth. God is a spirit. And He sent the Holy Spirit, in the book of John, He sent the Holy Spirit to comfort you, to teach you, to bring you remembrance, to remind you of the things that Jesus said. And then Jesus went on to say that I've got to go away to the Father. I can't stay, but the Holy Spirit is going to come. And He's going to be your teacher. Teacher of what? Teacher of the things in the Word of God, about your inheritance, the mind of Christ, that you need to know. And without Him, you'll never get these things. See, the mind, the natural mind, the intellect, can be taught by anything or anybody. The spiritual mind, the mind of your spirit, can't. But your intellect can be taught by any professor that's mixed up at any university around the country. Your intellect can be taught by any of your flaky friends and relatives, your flaky denominations. I mean, look at all the preachers that are put out that teach flaky stuff. I'm not going to go into that. I get started, we'll never get out of here. The list is too long. Your intellect can be taught by other things. The mind of your spirit is taught by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was taught from the day that you were born again. The Holy Spirit was sent to do the teaching in the spirit of your mind, that you might begin to know and learn and know the things of God. Until then, you weren't even able to know the things of God. I used to pick up the Bible before I was born again. You remember, you know, those Gideon books, you know, that's in the motels. You know, I traveled in the oil and gas investments quite a bit before I was born again. You know, so you go in the motel door, there's a Gideon Bible. Pick it up, read it, you know, and couldn't make heads or tails of it. Why do you think that's so? Because you don't have the capacity and capability. Even after you get born again, you still don't have the capacity and full capability. Now, you have the capacity in that the Holy Spirit is there to begin the work, but you still don't know it all. You still don't know what's in the Word of God. But that's why He sent the Holy Spirit to begin to teach you from that moment on the things of God, that you had the capacity from that moment on to be able to understand the things of God. From that moment on that you were born again, you got that born-again spirit. Now it can understand the things of God. But then He added one to it and said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit not only that your spirit get born again, that you have a new life in God, but also that He can become your teacher, begin to teach you these things in the Word of God, that you might know your inheritance. You might... You can't get through the walls, the block, brick walls, whatever you want to call them, the ceiling. I call them the ceiling on your life. If you can't get through those, how are you going to get through that evil day? When we talk about that evil day, we're talking about a major day in your life. For some, it might be a divorce. For others, it might be financial bankruptcy. For somebody else, it might be an emotional bankruptcy. For others, it might be hanging in there and staying with God. But what it is, it's a major thing that happens in your life, and you want to be ready to stand and stand against that evil day. Well, if you can't bust through the little bitty devil, the little bitty flesh thing, if you can't stand and break through whenever you meet yourself, how are you going to break through when the evil day comes? And so that's why He wants me to lay the groundwork. He says, so be filled with, know the will of the Lord. You can't know the will of the Lord unless you bust through those ceilings on your life. Unless you bust through those, you can't be filled with the Spirit and know the will of God. So He says, okay. He says, I've given you a way here. Be filled with the Spirit that you may meet those things and bust on through knowing the full will of God. Okay, here's what you do. Speaking to yourselves in hymns and spiritual songs. And yes, singing in the Spirit to yourself. In your prayer closet. In your private time. But not in an assembly. I know, I've already made something that I understand. What's new? See, you've got to be open to truth in the Word of God. And how can you be open to truth if you take one Scripture out of the Word of God, pull it out of context and say, that's truth and I'm going to use it. Well, it wasn't written that way, see. It wasn't written that way. So He said, to be filled with the Spirit, and here's how, and it gives you a way out. So I've had so many people come to me lately and, well, I don't know, Pastor, I'm hitting this and hitting that, and I don't know whether I'm going to make it. And I sometimes giggle a little bit, but it's just because I know what they're going through. I've been there. I know what they're going through. And so, you know, it's kind of amusing because I see the over and over and over, you know, the same patterns. But He says, be filled with the Spirit. Here's how you overcome. And so I tell them, I say, look, I have the same answer for you that I had the last time. Pray in the Spirit. Pray. Pray. Worship God. Worship God. Confess the Word of God. You become what you say. If you don't confess something good, you're not going to become it. If you don't confess your victory, you probably won't have your victory. But He left you things in the Word of God that you can be filled with the Spirit of God to the point that the Spirit of God controls your senses. No longer do those carnal things, those emotional things, those ceilings in your life, no longer do they control your life, but you're filled with the Spirit. And it controls your life, see. So I don't have any other answer. When you hit one of those walls or ceiling in your life, join the crowd. Join the crowd. But let me tell you something. I've already been through a few, and I know what to do. Continue to worship God. Continue to call Him your healer, your miracle worker. Continue to call Him your prosperity. Continue to call Him, He's my peace. And worship Him and pray in the Spirit. Now, one last verse. We're going to wind it up right here. I've done enough damage today. Oh, two more. I'm sorry. I have to take that back. Verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I had one guy, a pastor one time. He told his congregation, he said, I think you can pray too much another time. I think you can pray too much in the Spirit. I don't know why he overlooked this. He was teaching out of Ephesians. Yet he said, I believe you can pray too much. I believe there's those that have prayed too much and they're lopsided. Listen, their lopsidedness was there already. They just prayed themselves to that place of lopsidedness and did not bust through because they stopped. He says, praying always with all prayer. That means in the Spirit and in the understanding both, which you can do, but it'd be better if you knew what to pray in the understanding first. I get very lost if I don't know how to pray in the understanding. So what I do is I go to the Spirit and I find out then how I'm going to pray in the understanding. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You're not going to be able to persevere unless you begin to acknowledge and admit and do this. And that is pray always in the Spirit with all supplication. Continually with... When he says supplication, he means worship. Confession, speaking to the mountain. What did he call that? He called that a prayer. Whenever you speak to this mountain and believe in your heart, it'll be gone. It'll be gone. It'll be done for you. He went on to say, whenever you stand praying, ask forgiveness. Forgive those that have trespasses against you. So he called it a prayer. So he's saying here, pray in the Spirit and with all supplication, meaning this, you're going to have to take every ounce, every place in the Word of God, every part of the Word of God that's been given to you to bust through those things in your life, and you're not going to be able to do it unless you do so. He says, with all perseverance. Get ready. Get ready. You're going to have to do it with all perseverance. It's not just a little bit and stop. Pastor, I've reached this point and I don't know what else to do. I'm sorry, but my answer is the same this time as the last time. And let me tell you something. If you'll just keep going a little bit longer, you're going to bust through. But guess what? One of these days, you're going to hit something else and you'll have to bust through that. But that's okay, because you get better and better and better and better each time at busting through, because you went on ahead. You made a decision to go on ahead and bust through, even if it was things in your life that you met in the Word of God that were wrong. Yip's good. I have no problem with yip. One more, Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. Faithfulness! Let me tell you something. In the Word of Faith camp, listen, we're not known for our faithfulness. That's not one of our attributes. Commitment and charismatics, we're not known for our commitment and faithfulness. I realize I'm lumping a couple of groups together. He says faithfulness. And where are you going to get it? The fruit of the Spirit. Unless you get with the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit begin teaching your born-again spirit and receiving the things of God, you'll never have the fruit of the Spirit. It comes from the Spirit. You're not going to get it in the natural. Nobody can teach you. I can't say, Junior, you're going to love everybody. I'm telling you, you're going to love everybody. Now, I can confess that over your life. But I can't teach you and say, you're going to love everybody in spite of what they do to you. That comes from the Spirit. You can't get that in natural form. You can't get that in natural way. It comes as a fruit of the Spirit. And you're only going to grow that fruit from the source. And the source is the Holy Spirit. Let him who speaks in an unknown tongue speak to God. And through it, transformation, edification. What do you think edification is? It's change. It's change. When you meet some part of doctrine that was wrong in your life, and you said, I surrender, I want change, and he brings you to that place, and all of a sudden you're confronted with it. You can stay with it or you can walk out. You can make the choice. I don't make the choice for anybody. They make the choice. I present the gospel. I teach the truth in the Word of God. People make choices. I make choices. Shelley makes choices. She don't stand on my merits. She's accountable. We are a couple. We do stand together as one, but she's still accountable herself. I know that there's some making excuse. Well, I'll stand on my husband's merits. I'll stand on my wife's merits. Usually, I'll stand on my wife. My wife will get me into heaven. I doubt it until you change your mind. Stand with me, please. Appreciate you hanging with me. I never knew Pastor Dave, my pastor, the one I receive instructions from whenever I need it, the one who reproves and corrects me. I didn't understand whenever I came up here what he was talking to me. I did, but I didn't. I stood in his office and he said, now when you go up to Ulysses, he said, this is what you're going to be confronted with. You're going to have to correct doctrine. No big deal. You're healed. You know, God says you're healed. That means you're healed. That's correcting doctrine. I had no idea. No idea. I didn't have the slightest idea what he meant. I'm getting inklings of it now. But I didn't then. See. Because, see, you can't go forward. You can't grow. You can't have more of your inheritance except with change in your life that brings you into your inheritance, having it manifested in your life. More prosperity, more healing. See, I want more healing manifested in my life. Do you all know that? I'm walking it out just like you have to walk it out. You say, well, what's walking it out? Well, it can be one of two things. It can be that I stand in a line someday, and because I've crossed that place in faith, from hope to faith, all of a sudden I'm healed because of that gift in operation. It could be that because of the accountability that I have on my life, that I receive it in my living room one day, just out of the middle of nowhere. Hallelujah. I sure love you all. I love you all, and that's why I do what I do. I do what I do because I love you. I'm accountable to give out what I know is truth. If I don't give out, now if I don't know something's truth, I can't give it out to you. But when I know that it's truth, people don't understand this. I have an accountability to give it out. I don't have any choice. Even if every one of you quit and said, I'm walking out, I don't like you, I can't stand this. Even if they've done that, every one of you, I wouldn't have any choice. I'd still not be left with any choice. It doesn't change the picture, folks. It doesn't change the picture. I don't have any choice. Well, Pastor.